our verse for this?
Psalm 119:89-90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth in his life.
Yeah. That's our verse for this 10 weeks. So as we're studying that and remembering, the idea is that we know that the Word of God has been settled. And what we have in our hand today is something that is true and trustworthy. We've talked about the Word of God. We've talked about the fact that God exists. We talked about some attributes of God. Somebody give me an attribute of God. Not hard, but holy, unchanging. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Faithfulness,
yeah. Powerful. Anybody else? All-knowing, yeah.
Loving,
absolutely. Merciful, amen. Praise the Lord for that. All of it, actually. Anybody else? I'll throw one out there. His grace. Boy, what a powerful thing. So today we're going to talk about, well, let me ask you this. We talked about how God exists. How do you know God exists? Creation. You can look out and see it, everywhere abounds what God has provided. And it teaches us that in Romans chapter 1 that there's nobody without excuse. Everybody has seen creation. Everybody knows that God exists. Does the Bible prove God's existence? Just a little twisted question there. It does, but our author here that we're studying, he says more and proves it. It assumes it, that he exists. This is God's word. This is what he's given to us. And as we study it, we can see the very fact that we know God exists based on what the things we see and what we can study. But the word of God is powerful when we look to find out about who God is. The Bible teaches us, how many gods are there? One God. Now, a lot of people think there are more than one God. Some people think there's three gods. Some people think there's many gods. I believe when Egypt was, or the children of Israel were let go of Egypt, that God accosted all the gods of Egypt. Not all of them, but a lot of the gods of Egypt. All the things that they worshipped. But we know if we study the Word of God and we go into it, there are many places that it talks about there's only one God. Let me just share some of those with you. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 45:5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Galatians 3:20, now a mediator is not a mediator, but of one, but God is one. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. There's a lot of different people have a lot of different ideas about the Bible. I'm going to give you those at the end of the class, but some of those are, Sibeliusism, or Sibelius is the author of this, or modalism. It's the idea that there are three different modes of God. And one of those things, you think about water. What are the three stages of water? Yeah. And that's kind of like modalism. They're different things at different times. The ice is not the liquid water at the time. The steam is not the liquid water at that particular time. Or steam and ice are not together at that time. And so we know, though, when we talk about God, we know that that we have God, that he is, this is what they say. I'm sorry, I'm getting off track. God is the Father in the Old Testament. God is Jesus in the earthly ministry. And God is the Spirit in the present age. That's what they kind of think in the modalism. Arianism is named after the fellow Arus. And they believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were created by God the Father. A lot of people think Jesus was created. The Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus was a created being. We know that's not true. Adoptism. Anybody ever heard of that? That Jesus Christ himself, after he was baptized, then he was adopted by the Father and given supernatural powers. We don't believe that either. A lot of people do. the Unitarianism, they hold that there's a single God with no distinct persons. Whether it be Jesus or God, it varies, and they reject the preexistence of Jesus Christ. So there are a lot of people who have different ideas of who God is and how many gods there are, even talking about the God of the Bible. But we know, we believe anyway, that there's a Trinity. What verse is the word Trinity found in? Can somebody look that up and find that for me real quick? Anybody find that? Huh? There's not a verse in the Bible about the Trinity. So how do you explain the Trinity? How do you think about it? We already know that God is one, and then there is the idea of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So how do we come to those conclusions? What's the best way to find those things out? Okay, Genesis 1:1, or study the Bible. And that's what we're doing. That's what this is about. It's about us learning to go into the Bible and as apologetics or apologists, if you will, that we want to be able to defend what we believe about the Bible. If we talk to somebody about the Trinity, we want to be able to show them there is a Trinity. And how can we do that apart from the Word of God? Now, we can use examples, right? There are some examples that you can maybe think of. Can somebody think of an example? Mike could use. Who said that? Hey, oh, Jeff. Can't believe you said that. Like one of these. How does this provide or think of the Trinity? Three in one. Well, I only see one thing here. It's an egg. It's just an egg. I'm sorry? Oh, got to crack it open. I got to break into this thing. Just like there is one God, we want to crack into the Word of God and find out, hey, there's actually three, right? Persons. Not, well, one God, three persons. Now, I'm not good at this. I don't do a lot of cooking. Okay. So what do we have in this bowl now? An egg. That's right. One egg. One egg in this bowl. But what does that tell us? What are the parts of the egg? Yeah. So there's three parts. And that's a kind of a demonstration, an illustration of God in the sense that you really don't have an egg unless you have all three parts. And they say, hold it, Pastor. I eat eggs every morning. I never eat that shell. Well, you had to get it in the shell unless you get powdered eggs. But anyway, there's always ways of working around things. Can anybody think of any other example? The three-in-one idea? I'm going to have to dwell on it very long. Is anybody cold in here? No? Okay. There's a vote. Well, if you were cold, you would want some heat. So how would you get heat? Maybe you'd build a fire. So what is so special about a fire? A fire is something that takes place and it's burning, it's got flame. But what consists of that fire? You can have one fire out here on our ground, and hopefully it'd just be one contained. But what makes up that fire? Oxygen, fuel, heat. That's right. So you have to have all three of those. If you take one of them away, what happens to the fire? That's right. Same thing with God. There's one God, but there are three persons. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 because Lynn suggested it, and I think that was a good suggestion. Genesis chapter 1, excuse me, not 3. Very good suggestion. Someone volunteer to read verses 1, 2, and 3, Janie. Sorry. Okay, so again, we talked about this verse already, but who are the characters here in this passage? God? Yeah? Anything else? Spirit. So we have two persons of God, they're the Trinity, and it's God and the Spirit. So again, we talked about the actions that are attributed to him. So God did what? He created, and Spirit moved. That's right. And of course, when did this happen? Context, in the beginning, on the first day, right? And it's interesting, we see who's responsible for this. all this taking place? God. Anybody here have a Scofield Bible? Kayla's got one. Probably three or four, maybe. Yeah, probably. Do me a favor and read point number one. Yep. Scofield's notes. Just read it till you get to. Yeah, Elohim, yeah. Okay, that's good. So here it says that thus the Trinity is latent in the word Elohim because it's the plurality. And it tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 there, if you'll turn over there for just a second and see how that begins. Genesis 1, 26, anybody like to read that? Okay, Molly. Okay. Did anybody see anything in that verse that might indicate something? What?
The plurality.
The plurality. Let us. That's right. And it's also mentioned in Genesis 11. So again, we see there's plurality. Again, there is one God, but there are three persons. And that's what we're trying to study and understand. Turn to Psalm 33:6. Psalm 33:6. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit again this morning. Psalm 33:6, and whoever likes to read that might get there first. Anybody? Okay, great.
By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth.
Okay, what in this passage do you see that speaks to us or helps us to understand? What is it talking about? How did these things happen? And what happened? The word. By the word of the Lord. That word Lord there is Jehovah. Okay? And so we see by the word of the Lord what happened. Yeah, he created again. It's the same idea as we see in Genesis chapter 1. He made all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He spoke these things into existence. We're going somewhere with this, okay? Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 3. Somebody like to read that for us? Okay, Josh.
Through faith we understand that the world was made by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which should appear.
So what's the idea here? Anybody? There's a couple ideas, but what are some things that we're looking at? Yeah, again, he framed the world. And, of course, it's by faith that we understand that or believe that. It has to be by faith because we weren't here. We didn't see it. But he is the one who spoke it into existence. He did that. Go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Get a volunteer to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 in the beginning. Okay, Tina?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
So in that first verse we see, in the beginning, what happened? What is it teaching us there?
confirms Genesis 1:1.
It confirms Genesis 1:1, absolutely. It says, in the beginning was the what?
The Word is Jesus.
How do we know it's Jesus?
Because verse 14, it says the Word was made flesh.
Absolutely. So this is what we're doing, is we're looking at the Word of God. We're going to be able to share this with somebody so they can understand this idea of the Trinity. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it says the Word was with God, tells us again, confirming Genesis 1, that Jesus was there. And we know that because in verse 3, God himself spoke the world into existence. And he used the Word of God, which is Jesus. So those all kind of come around and demonstrate that. And then, what else does it tell us in verse 3?
Yes,
who made everything? Who specifically?
The Word.
The Word, which is? Jesus. That's right. So we're trying to put this together. So it's like a puzzle. Okay, God, he made everything. We believe that God is central to this idea. There's one God, but there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God made this. That also means that Jesus made this. That also means that the Spirit made this, because they're all together as one. And that's what we're showing and demonstrating when we go through these scriptures and try to gain understanding of them. All right. So, God is three in one. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And if someone would like to read verse 43, or 23 and 24. If I can find it myself. Isaiah 44. Somebody got it already? Yeah, 23 and 24, Julia.
Sing, O ye heavens, the Lord hath done. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth the singing. Ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein, the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, that he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord, that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens below thee, that spreadeth abroad.
Okay. That's fine. Okay. So what is God being praised for here? Verse 23.
Creation.
What else? That's right, creation. That's right, for the redemption of Jacob. And so again, it is the Lord it's talking about that's done this. If we look on to verse 24, what has God done? He made all things. What else? Says something pretty specific there. Yeah, absolutely. So again, not to chase the rabbit trails and go off on them, but again, the Word of God reminds us that those babies are His. He's the one who formed those. And when someone has an abortion, they're committing murder. They're taking their life and this child's life into their own hands. They're not obeying the authority of God, and they're doing something that is wrong. Now, we all know that. We've all done wrong, maybe not this particular thing, but we know what it is. It's called sin. And today, people do this and practice this, and our country has decided that it's okay to openly sin. It's okay to go against God, and that's the leadership of our country. And there are many other ideas as well. So who helped God according to this verse, or verse we see here? Who's helping God do this? I wasn't there, so I had no part in it. That's right. God himself is doing this. And so the idea, someone reads this verse and they come out this passage and say, well, that didn't say anything about Jesus or the Spirit. Now, we went through Genesis, but okay, but here God says he's the only one doing this. This is contrary to the idea of the Trinity. Why not? There is one God, that's right. And there's also three persons of God. And we can see it and study it in the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us those things. And we can reconcile that whole idea by doing what? Studying this Bible. Studying the Word of God. And I can't emphasize, and again, like I said, this is apologetics, defending the faith, how important the Bible is in our lives as Christians. We're called for a purpose, and we're trying to help other people see Jesus Christ. And today we live in a country that they don't even know who God is. When I was growing up, people knew who God was. I mean, I believed in God. I remember telling the kids, don't say that because God wouldn't be pleased. And I didn't know who Jesus was. I wasn't saved or anything. But I was taught in school and by my parents, even though they were lost, that there is a God. Today they have been taught just the opposite. So it's really more important for us to be able to discern in the Word of God how we can help others see. Now, we know God will never tell a lie. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. God does not lie, nor will he. So, again, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Hopefully, you're marking some things down. I encourage you to bring a notebook because these things should help you to go back and maybe study and then also be able to defend your faith, why you believe what you believe. Colossians chapter 1. Someone read verses 15 through 17. Do I have a volunteer that hadn't read? Okay, Annie?
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created, that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities, powers. All things are created by him.
17.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, so we might have to do a little more digging to find out who this is talking about. Now, somebody already knows, but look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is. So this is talking specifically about the Son, which is Jesus Christ. And so who was at creation, or who created these things? Again, what would be the answer? Jesus, yeah. I know it's simple, but it's helping us to understand these things and helping us understand who God is. Let's go to Psalm 104:30. Again, hopefully jotting some of this down. In verse 30, somebody read that verse that hadn't read it. 104. This is Psalm 104, verse 30. Okay, Kirk. So on the surface of this verse, what is it saying? I'm sorry?
The Spirit,
yeah, sending the Spirit. But what's the Spirit do? What's attributed to the Spirit here? Okay, to get a better understanding of this, let's try to read the context. Let's go to verse 24. Someone read verse 24 all the way down to verse 29. Who'll do that for us? Somebody do that. Okay, go ahead, Kurt. You already got it.
The Lord, a manifold of works, and wisdom has not made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is the Leviathan, and thou hast made play therein. These weigh all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. If thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou Einstein's face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, see, so the Spirit itself is creating and renewing here. Again, giving us the idea and the thought that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are this three personalities, three persons in one, but there's only one God. They all have the same attributes. I'm going to pass out a paper later that you can take home, you can look at. It has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit on front and back, and it shows you the different attributes each one of those have. So you can go and you can kind of look at that and study it a little bit. But we know they're all omniscient. We know they're omnipresent. We know that they're immutable. We know that they're, loving, kind, drawing. They all do these things, and there are many other attributes that they have. So let's go ahead and let's find out, is there another place that can help us to visualize the Trinity? Jesus' baptism? Matthew chapter 3? Okay, good. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And there are other places you can look at it too, in Luke as well, and John. Let's see here, Matthew chapter 3. Looks like verse 13 is that we will maybe pick it up. Matthew chapter 3. Someone read verse 13 through 17. Is there a volunteer that would like to do that? Okay, Ron.
Is it 13?
Yes, please.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized with him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized with thee, and he comest thou with me. Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now for this, for thus. When he was baptized, he went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and let him fall. And lo, a voice from heaven said, is it not the Lord's Son? Whom I will please.
So let's look at these verses just a little bit. Who are the human characters? Yeah, John and Jesus. And of course, we see that John, he thinks that Jesus ought to baptize him because he knows who he is, and Jesus explains to him what? Verse 15. Anybody venture answer? Yeah, God had a plan. And Jesus is going to follow that plan to the letter T. He's not going to deviate from that at all. And he knew that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, how do we know that anyway? The Bible says, Isaiah 40, you're on the right path. Get rid of the one. Did someone say it? Verse 3. It tells us that. How important is that? That verse is a great verse for a Jehovah Witness who doesn't believe that Jesus is God as a created being, because it explains to us, and then in Matthew it actually tells us that Isaiah did that. So we know the characters are Jesus and John, human characters. We know that Jesus had to, he was following God's plan. It was he that had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him so, or John agreed with him and did it. And then what do we see that takes place here in verse 16? And in verse 17 too, but what happens here? Who did? Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is the one who's being baptized. And he's beginning his public ministry. This is the day he begins that, basically. He comes out of the water. What happens? Yeah. So the Spirit of God, that is the Spirit itself, came down. So we have Jesus the Son. We have the Spirit of God What else? What'd he say? So he put his approval right there on the spot that this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. So we see the Trinity there with Jesus, the Spirit, and God the Father. All of those there together. And so the idea here is that there's one God, but there are three persons in God. Now, how does it work today? We have God the Father. We have God the Son, or Jesus. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. How do those three work in our lives? I'm sorry, Jeff. The Spirit indwells a believer. A person who is a born-again Christian, the Spirit resides in. So let's think about that just for a second. Think about the magnitude of that, that the God in the beginning created the heaven and the earth. I believe the Spirit is God. If the Spirit is God and He's indwelling me, that means God is with me. Does that mean anything to us? Does that help us as Christians to know that we have some power that maybe we haven't tapped into, are some reserves that God, or not, I wouldn't say reserves, that God has given. If God has given us something to do, He has laid it on our heart to do something, He has given us the power to do it. We may think, well, I don't have the ability. And you're probably right. You probably don't. But you know what? God that lives inside of you, He can do all things, right? So as you think about these things and you realize you have God the Father who sent the Son, Jesus, to the earth. Why? Because in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because God loved us, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the love of God demonstrated through Jesus the Son who walked on this earth for those 33 years, died on a cross to take care of everybody's sin. And whoever puts their faith and trust in Him, they're going to receive something. It's called the Spirit, which is God. So a believer is different from the world. The world doesn't know and cannot understand what it is to be a Christian. Because without the Spirit, there's something missing. If we're living our lives like the world and just going along and there's nothing supernatural about us, then either we are not understanding what the Spirit can do in our lives and not following it, or we don't have it. Because just like Paul said, I can do all things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me. So if God calls us to do anything, we may not have the ability, we may not even want to do it, but if we submit to God, we can be led by the Spirit. There's a difference. Many times I reject being led by the Spirit because I don't want to do something. I want to do it my way, or I want to go my way. God, I really don't want to do that. But He's given me the strength to do it. See, when I get all upset or get worried about it, that's when we fail. But I want to cast all my care upon Him so He can lead me and direct me and guide me where He wants me to go. And we're taught that that Spirit is going to help us and encourage us. Let me give you also one other place we'll find the Trinity that's clear. Turn to 1 John before we wrap up here. But the Spirit of God that indwells the believer, it is different. When I was lost in serving the Lord, you say, how can you serve the Lord and be lost? Well, not very well. Okay, I was a church member. I was a deacon. I was a bus captain. Taught Awanas. I did all those things that Christians do to get involved when they think, oh, I want to please God, I want to serve God. And I thought, honestly, I was saved. And I thought for a long time I was saved, but God kept pointing me out and saying, you're not. I wish He would have said it as clear as that and just said, Bruce, you're not saved. He didn't do it that way. He kept prompting me, though, through every message that I heard. You could preach on anything in the Bible, and I'd be sitting in the pew thinking, boy, am I saved? And then right then, I remember hearing the message. I think it was Tom Farrell preached it, I think, that Satan can make you doubt. And that's what I said. Oh, Get the hint, Satan. You can't make me doubt. Leave me alone. But for years, I sat in that situation until I actually received the Spirit of God, which was by the birth, being born again. And how'd that happen? I realized I was lost and deserved to go to hell. I was not worthy of God, no matter all the things that I did and tried to do. And that kept me for a long time from putting my faith and trust in Christ because of pride. But the Spirit changes a person, changes their direction, changes their life. But anyway, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Someone read verses 6 through 10. Do I have a volunteer to read that? This will be the last verses we read. There are a lot of others as well to read. Somebody that hadn't read. Anybody? Okay, Matt. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Which verse do you read?
5-7.
That's good. That's part of it. 6 through 10. I'm sorry. No, that's good. I probably just didn't say it right. But you read the right verse. Yeah.
This is he that come by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For they are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water. We receive the witness of men, and the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And that believeth not God, he that believeth not God hath made him to liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son.
So there you go. So there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. We receive the witness. This morning, as a born-again Christian, you have a Spirit that indwells you. Do you crave spiritual things? Do you want to know about God? And do you want to know about his plan? Do you see people as lost, sinners, on the way to hell? Is your priorities in the right place? Now, I can say many times they are not. Many times I don't yield to the Spirit. Many times I just keep on going my own way. And when we do that, the blessing of God is not on us. We will miss out on what God has for us, because he has something special for every one of us. In any situation, in anything that's going on in your life, God can see you through it. And he promises he will. But he wants us just to follow him, being led by the God that lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Anybody have any questions? Comments, thoughts? I had a couple of people say they like doing this, and I haven't heard from everybody yet. I mean, it may seem simple, but it's really, the idea is, let's find out what the Word of God has for us so we can give it to somebody else. We can discern, and we can go through and say, hey, look at these verses. Let me show you. Why is it important to show them the Word of God? Yeah. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is quick and powerful. My words aren't, unless they're God's words. How powerful are they when you allow people to read and show them in the Bible where these things are? It's easy to tell somebody about stuff and paraphrase it, but this is what's powerful. According to the Scripture, which we believe, all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the time we've had. We thank you for your love for us. We pray you continue to go before us and guide us, Father. Help lead us by the Spirit. Father, if there's anybody here that's never put their faith and trust in Christ, doesn't really understand, I pray that you would help them to seek you, Father, and maybe seek some help on being able to discern that. Father, we just pray you go before us now and guide and direct. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.